Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. Remember, if you want to sign up to give your testimony, shoot us an email at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. Today, we're going to be talking about heaven or the kingdom and some of the misconceptions we've been told about heaven and what the actual truth is about the kingdom. That being said, how's it going, nobody? You doing all right over there?
I am doing good. I had to just readjust, and my camera was freaking out a little bit. So, all right. We did it, everybody.
All right.
Yeah, we did it. There you go. We're good to go. But yeah, no, like, here it is. Right? This is our great hope, right? The kingdom of heaven. And this is one of the most overlooked aspects of the faith in so many congregations. I'm very excited to talk about this.
Like, looking back made me realize, like, looking back and the times I've been to church and stuff like that makes me realize, like, how untalked about it is. This is the goal of every, like, you can't see it on audio, but I'm doing quotes. You can barely see it on video. Quotes. This is the goal of the Christian, right? Is to make it into heaven or to go to heaven. But it's rarely talked about in any kind of detail, in any kind of depth. It's just like, yeah, you die and then you go to heaven. And it's like, okay, well, what does it look like? What are we doing there? There hasn't been much discussion about it.
Yeah, and the whole concept that earth was made for man. Like, if you take part in the first resurrection and you get a glorified body, you're still a man or woman, mankind, but mm-hmm. your earth was still created for you. The kingdom of heaven comes to earth. And this is like something that is just, I don't know. It's like, it doesn't exist in the conversations in the mainstream church. Everybody's, you know, you have a family member that passes away, and they're like, oh, they're looking down on you from heaven. They're up in heaven now with the angels, with, you know, as they would say, with God and all that. And it's like, well, if that's the case, then who's resurrected from the dead during, you know, the first resurrection event, if everybody's just already there, you know? Or,
and just based off what you just said, how great could heaven be if they're paying attention to what we got going on?
Yeah, like, I was always under the assumption that you're just a wispy ghost fart in a cloud, based on what heaven was described to me about. And honestly, back in the day, I'm like, this, it doesn't sound like, I get that there'd be peace and everything, but if I'm just like existing and that's it, like, that doesn't sound appealing to me, you know? Like,
no.
If I'm going, I want to be able to actively participate and interact with the Father, with the Son, with all these wonderful promises. But
right, yeah, which makes it even more like crazy is, like, you are in the presence of Yah and His Son, but you're still paying attention to what we got going on here on Earth, and then also like, what's kind of the, what would be the whole point of Earth's creation if we're just going to abandon it in the end anyway?
Right. That makes no sense at all. Right. Like, these are all questions that literally I've had growing up in the church. I was like, I just don't get it. Like,
yeah,
I don't get it. Like, nowhere does it say you die and go to heaven, you know? Nope. Like, I can't find that.
Yeah, same.
In fact, you know, everywhere you see, including, you know, in the quote unquote New Testament or the testimonies of the apostles, you know, you see like the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which is such an eye-opening parable where he's literally telling you what happens after you die. Like, you either go to the righteous side of Sheol, Abraham's bosom, as it's known, or the unrighteous side. And, you know, you await the resurrection and or judgment.
If I was Lazarus and I was in heaven and then you brought me back to earth, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be happy about it.
Like, hold up. What? This is a punishment. you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is like, you know, the whole idea of Sheol has been brushed to the side. You know, where, and it's been demonized. It's all considered hell now. Anything under the earth mm-hmm. is hell. Everything in the clouds is heaven. And even then, you talk to most people in the church and they believe that we're a globe that's spinning out of control through a vast universe, just aimlessly, like, in circles, you know? And it's just not the case. Like,
I just pictured a collective scream that you could hear in space.
Just everybody's holding on, you know? But then, you know, here's the next question. Where's heaven? You know, if all these are infinite galaxies and inhabited planets and other life, it's like, okay, you're pretty much like dismantling our Father's creation, you know? Right. When you learn that there's like, you're on a fixed plane of the earth and there's like seven firmaments above you and our Father is the Most High. And you read Revelation 4 that in front of them's like, you know, like this basically crystalline, you know, glass floor. He's literally watching us from his throne, you know, like he is right above us, keeping tabs on his children.
Which is wild to think about. And also, Most High makes more sense.
Yeah. Right. He's on the highest. He has dumbed it down for us people. He might as, you know what? He's probably like, man, maybe I should have written it for them in crayon because they just like, they don't get it. Like, my bad. But, you know, I'm just saying it adds this whole other aspect and closeness that our Father is actually looking at us and he's actually concerned for us. He is taking care over us, but at the same time, he sees everything we do, you know, like there's nothing hidden from him. It's just, yeah, it's pretty, I mean, if you don't believe there's multiple firmaments, what was Paul talking about? When he's like, I knew a dude who went up to the third heavens, you know? And it's like, okay, what does that even mean if you don't believe in the creation model and the way it's, you know, supposed to be? But,
and then also, if you have like if we're on a fixed plane, whatever kind of shape Earth you want to talk about, if it's not what mainstream science is pushing, then you cannot deny a creator. Like, even, I mean, you can't really deny a creator even using their science, but if you make something, if you talk about it in terms that people cannot comprehend, like it's infinitely big, it's constantly expanding, then right. You can kind of weasel into the agnostic, atheistic point of view. Whereas if it's like, for lack of better terms, flat earth or biblical cosmology, you cannot deny a creator. We're on a fixed plane. Like, this did not happen on accident.
Bro, and like these things like testify to it, right? Like you have like Operation Dominic and Fishbowl. We're literally, we're launching nukes at the firmament. Like, this is government documents. This is like, you can't make this up. It's like, they're sitting down there like, well, let's fire everything we got at it. Let's try to get through, you know? And then you have, like, in Russia, they do that giant borehole. Where they got down to a certain level and they could not penetrate it any further. And then you see in scripture that he says like, hey, if you could search out the heavens above or the earth beneath, like basically saying you can't do it. Like there's a limit, you know?
And then also like the microphone they sent down in that borehole and they start hearing screams. I don't imagine that's Abraham's bosom that they dug it down into.
No, not at all, man. That's like, yeah, but here's the thing. That could be like the unrighteous side of Sheol, or that could be Tartarus, the prison of the angels, you know?
Ooh, that's freaky.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But
I always assumed that Tartarus was under the Sahara just because of how desolate the Sahara is, how hot it is. Nothing really grows there, at least in the sand dunes part.
Yeah.
But I always just assumed Tartarus was under the Sahara Desert.
Dude, it could be, man. It totally could be. And then you got to factor in Leviathan and Behemoth. Like, Leviathan is under, like, where do you think we get earthquakes from? It's not tectonic plates on a globe. That's a big old fish. Yeah. I know that's going to sound crazy, but that's a big old fish. There's even scripture that talks
that way.
There's scripture that talks about it, like, shaking the creation. And then Behemoth is out wandering in the, like, you know, the uninhabited parts of the earth. It's just, there's just so much meat to creation, which this will tie into the kingdom coming, right? Like, if New Jerusalem...
Are there any descriptions on what Behemoth looks like?
I think it looks like just like a big old ox. Like,
that's wild.
Yeah, it's like something like that. Like, just this huge ox, you know? And like, Leviathan has great details in like the Book of Job. Talking about the scales being like these impenetrable armor plates, you know. Cool part is like Second Baruch talks about Leviathan basically being food for the survivors in the nations after the day of Yah. So it's like fish taco. You made it, fish tacos all around. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man.
Bro, like, I want to try some Leviathan, that, you know.
I don't know. For some reason, I don't imagine him tasting very good.
I don't know, man.
So, is Leviathan biblically clean?
Yeah, fins and scales.
There we go. Even if those scales are like iron?
Fins and scales, man.
Something you got to kill from the inside.
This definitely going to be butchered up by some like glorified bodies that are strong enough, you know what I mean? Like, the regular mortals are gonna be like, get this freaking dinosaur fish out of here. And we're like, you know, doing like the hibachi grill thing.
Man, all right, like, so yeah, what does the real kingdom look like, and where do we derive our description for the real kingdom?
So this is another point of contention, is like, when does the kingdom come? You know, so many pastors out there are like, it comes at the end of the millennial reign because it's at the end of the book of Revelation. And it's like, well,
okay.
It's like, hold on a second. Like, nope. Because Revelation is not in chronological order in that fashion. It is in sections, right, and then it shifts. But just logically, let's think about this for a minute. The King of Kings, the Master of Masters, the Son of our Most High, Yahuwah, right? So his son, Yahusha, is not going to come and rule out of some buildings in an earthly Jerusalem that, like, have, you know, leaking plumbing, need their carpets cleaned. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's gonna, if this is the kingdom right now, it sucks.
Yeah, he's going to reign out of New Jerusalem. He's ministering in the heavenly tabernacle now, right? That has an altar, has all these things. He's not going to leave that and, you know, come to this other thing. That's just logically speaking. There's other scripture that points to this most definitely that we'll get into, but that's first and foremost. So the kingdom itself, it's roughly like 1,400 miles square and 1,400 miles tall. Like, the quote unquote International Space Station, and big quote unquote on that, I think is like 250 some miles above Earth is what they say.
Yeah.
So the That's kingdom insane. Is 1,400 miles tall. You ain't missing it, you know?
So, what is there? Skyscrapers? What is the tallest building in this kingdom?
Well, so that's the thing. Like, I think my opinion You know, it's also known as Mount Zion. I do think there's a very high mountain in the midst of this. Exactly what this all looks like, I really am not sure. We have descriptions in some areas, like the 12, there's 12 gates named after the 12 tribes. And here's a big, you know, big morsel to chew on. Everybody who calls themselves a Gentile believer, there is no Gentile gate into the kingdom. You must be grafted into one of the tribes. Or if you're a natural branch or grafted in, either way, you have to be part of one of the tribes. But you know, it's like gold, like these gold streets. And a brother of ours brought up that this gold is so pure that it's like translucent, which is beautiful. Yeah. That's so cool.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And like precious jewels and stones. And I mean, this kingdom we see here in Rev 21, certain descriptions of it, which we'll read. But it's beautiful. You can't miss it. You know, you guys, anybody who's been on a road trip, think about driving 1400 miles. And that's like, okay, you made it across one wall. You know what I mean? Like that's
like
huge.
Think of it like Mount Everest is what, like 5 or 6 miles tall?
Bro, yeah, like it's
that's wild.
It's we're talking 1,400 miles tall. Like, so, and if you're on a globe, right, and you have this four square city, right? It's not a four square city with like a weird concave shape to it that'll fit on a globe. But if you were to set down this four square city on a globe model, each corner would be like, I think roughly 15 miles off the face of the earth. That's how I would like wow. sit. So we're definitely not on a globe, but that being said, when it sits down, that's why every eye is going to see the kingdom coming, like from wherever you're at on earth. And forevermore, like that kingdom will be there and every eye on the earth after the kingdom has set down on the earth, you're going to see it. It'll be that beacon to which you go to for instruction and care and food. And like, you got to go to it every year for the Feast of Sukkot, according to Zechariah 14. And I would imagine Pesach and Shavuot as well, because all the men of Yisrael have to present themselves each year. So I think that will be part, but anyways, it only talks about Sukkot and Zechariah, but yeah, so
that's wild. That's gonna be hard to imagine. Awesome.
Dude, everybody's going to have a full brownout when they see the firmament roll back like a scroll, you know? Like, yeah. And this giant kingdom. Everybody, we know that they've been setting us up for a fake alien invasion.
Yeah.
This is it. Like, I believe they're pre-programming everybody to immediately have this negative reaction to the kingdom coming. Because nobody knows the real descriptions of it. Nobody, I say nobody, but most don't know the descriptions of it. Most don't understand that this very tangible kingdom is coming to earth. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And then if you look at, like, everybody wants to chalk everything up to that, was it Project Bluebeam? Like, yeah. That's their next plan or something like that, is the fake alien invasion. And, like, that's immediately what they're going to think once they start seeing the kingdom dropping out of the sky.
Bro, like I like to think that I've studied enough to have an understanding roughly to where when I see it come in, I'll understand that that's the kingdom. But even I am going to be so terrified to see that thing coming down, even knowing that it's coming down. Like, talk about going weak in the knees. You know what I mean? I'm just going to bow right to my face right in the beginning. All right. You know, here I am. Hopefully I don't have the brownout moment, though. That would be embarrassing. You know, meeting your king. It
depends if you ate some Thai food.
Bro.
Every episode.
All right. So we're about to get started here. And and I was like, wait up. Hold on just a minute, man. I was like, I'm so sorry. I gotta make a bathroom break. Yeah, I just ate some Thai food and the tables had turned.
Hey, dude, I completely get it. I'm transitioning into carnivore, and this has been the hardest transition I've ever had as far as like digestion wise goes. Dude, this one has been killing me. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but my stomach is like, nope, we're used to ice cream. bring me back the ice cream. It's like throwing a fit or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I completely understand.
Well, thank you for the grace you showed when my tummy hurt. I appreciate it.
Dude, I get it. I get it. It ain't even a choice. It's just mandatory.
Yeah, you should have seen me speed walking. Speed walking there.
Doing the booty clench shuffle.
Yeah. I look like I was all hips getting there.
Got the arms working.
All right. So here's a question, right? A question that I was just, believe it or not, I don't know how this happens. Maybe I'm broken or something, but in my life, I tend to talk about it. Poop comes up a lot in conversations. I don't know why. Whether it be about animals or like, hey, my tummy hurts or going to Buc-ee's. I was just talking to a sister, right, earlier today, and the question arose yet again, like, do you poop in the kingdom, like in a glorified body? Like, we know you can eat food.
Good point.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Why should it be perfect poops every time?
Bro, like, have you ever seen the commercial for the squatty potty?
Yeah, my wife has one.
Bro,
the stool?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the, hands down, one of the best inventions they've ever been made.
What? I find it harder
to bro, then
with the squatty potty.
You need to train your guts. Because that's like the natural, alignment, man. It's like
I don't think so. Not for everybody. I don't know.
Okay. All right. But what I was getting at is in that commercial, like they poop like like sherbet ice cream into these cones. But
oh man! Now, all right, real quick, when I was in China, I was flying back from Australia. This layover was in China. I had to, you know, poop at the airport. I had like a 14-hour layover. And then I go in the bathrooms and all I see is this hole in the ground. I'm like, oh crap. And then like, you know, pulled my pants down all the way and then realized like, oh, well, that's not a good idea. So heads up, if you have to poop in a hole, don't pull your pants down all the way. The pants stop at the knees. Otherwise you poop into your pants.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to.
And then as I'm leaving the bathroom, I see regular toilets as I'm leaving. Like, oh, I didn't have to just struggle right there. I could have just sat down on the toilet.
Yeah, but I bet it was a growing experience.
You know, it was a frustrating experience. It was like, oh, cool, finally getting over this travel constipation, but I got to aim towards this small. And the hole was small.
Yeah. Yeah, they had those in Korea, too.
It was like, make the hole bigger.
Oh, they had those in Afghanistan, like, too. Like, some of the outhouses, like, it was literally just a hole. It was just a hole that they had dug and, like, put a box over.
Can you imagine, like, slipping and falling into that?
No, I don't want to think about that, dude. That's...
Just put me down after that, man. Just kill me.
Okay, all right. I know we gotta get back on topic. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. But, like... So when I was in the army, like going into some of the ranges, they would just have these like vast, deep holes with just like, like structure you sit on. Right. So you're just like, and it's like a 10, 15 foot drop for whatever business you're doing to the water. Right. I swear I'm an adult. I have like an assault rifle slung around me and I'm worried about monsters in this hole. Like every time I go there. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it so fast. And the worst part, there's like two rows, one on each side. And there's like, I don't know, four or five like toilet seats on these. And there's no walls, no doors. You're all facing each other. It's the most awkward. It's just an open room with a bunch of toilet seats into a vast dark hole.
Yeah. Oh, man. So you can watch your buddy get sucked down by the monster.
Yeah, you want to talk about getting to know some people. That's
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You got to make eye contact.
Yeah. You're like, stop. Why are you making that face at me? Stop. Like,
watch your next door neighbor turn red.
Anyways, that's why I'm so grateful for Bucky's bathrooms.
Yep. Bucky's is the shiznit.
They're not a sponsor yet.
Yeah. Yep. Just the bathroom part. That's the only part we need to be sponsored by.
I don't
just
care about Bucky's anything bathroom. Else. Yeah.
This episode was brought to you by Bucky's Bathrooms.
Hey, I bet we could do it. I bet we could pull that off. We got to hit them up.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Anyways. All right. Back to the kingdom. Sorry, everybody. That was a little gratuitous.
That part was for us.
Yeah. It was fun, though, man. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Rev 21. This gives us some good descriptions we could tee off of. So it says, and I saw a renewed heaven. Oh, wait. Let me pull this up. I am doing a disservice here.
And the app we're using is eSword. And we're reading... Well, you have the Scriptures 2009 and the Apostolic Polyglot pulled up.
Yep. You can go through a lot more different comparative things too, which is nice. All these different versions and all that, but these are my main ones for now. All right. It says, and I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. For the former heaven and former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I, Yochanan, or John, saw the set-apart city, the renewed Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from Elohim, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heavens saying, see, the booth of Elohim is with men, and he shall dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former matters have passed away. And he who was sitting on the throne said, see, I make all matters new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I shall give of the fountain of water of life without payment. The one who overcomes shall inherit all this, and I shall be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, and the untrustworthy, and the abominable, and murderers, and those who whore, and the drug sorcerers, and idolaters, and all the false, their part is in the lake, which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Yikes. And one of the seven messengers who held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and spoke with me, saying, come, I shall show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, everybody in mainstream church, get ready. We're talking about you, I guess, right? Coming up, we're going to be talking about the bride. Is that all the people? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the set-apart Jerusalem descending out of heaven from Elohim. That's the bride. Isaiah references us as being like the precious jewels that adorn the bride. That's how much Yah cherishes his people. As beautiful as this city will be, he sees that we make it even more beautiful to him. Like, that's amazing.
Right.
You know?
That is. Yeah. But, okay, so how do the mainstream churches get that part so wrong? Because very clearly, in one of the seven messengers who held the seven bowls, saying, come, I shall show you the bride of the Lamb's wife. And then shows him Jerusalem.
Yeah.
The great city.
Oh, yeah. I get it. I've been told that all of, you know, all my life growing up in church. And I'm like, wait, I don't want to be another man's wife.
Yeah.
You know, like this doesn't sound right to me. In fact, it's against Yah's ways. I mean, I understand the reference to a covenant. I understand that, you know. It doesn't.
But that specific term seems odd to describe that covenant.
Right. And it's similar, though. It's like we see, like, through the prophets mentioning, like, the adultery of his people. But that's, like, spiritual adultery. That's going whoring after the false gods of other nations. You know, I see this really as him just making sense of how he feels based on what we experience here on earth, you know, like in our, in our, you know, marriages and stuff like that. You know, even look at like the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, right? Like they're all like wedding guests. They're not all getting married. You know what I mean? I mean, all of these parables, there's just everybody's a guest to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Anyways, this is one of those things that, you know, I guess has just been an annoyance to me. But
yeah,
all right.
And so and like heaven or the kingdom descending from the heavens has never been, in my experience, described that way in church. It's always been like, oh, you die and then you go to heaven, not the kingdom coming down to us from the heavens.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the big thing, like the, how should I word this? I have to be careful because there's literally task force, like looking for these things.
Well, that was a good description of what you're talking about then.
I think a lot of people still won't even know. The earthly land that was reestablished in 1948 is not the promise. This is not the promise regathering. You know, that's like one of the most secular states. It's like, you know, the abominations that come out of that place is just heart-wrenching. And not to mention, like, everybody, like, forgets, even, like, Paul, this is, like, most churches' favorite dude. He says, like, yo, they were cut off, like, the natural branches were cut off because of disbelief. They didn't believe in the Messiah. And yet they're still like, hey, these, we have to bow down to these people because they're chosen. Not no more, they ain't. You know?
No.
Like...
No, and I can't stand the way like the mainstream church like views these people as if they're some like mystic, like old wise sage or something like that, that doesn't necessarily believe the same thing we do, but we got to like derive all of our wisdom from them or something.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, dude, we're not boasting against the natural branches. Like we wish they would come and be grafted back in, you know, that's the prayer.
Yeah.
Like, come to belief and faith in the Messiah that he, you know, he already came and he's coming again real soon. And that'd be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But as it stands, if you don't believe in him, scripture says you don't take part in this covenant, you know, like,
right.
Anyways, it's rough. It's really rough. None of the promises of the regathering, right, have taken place. There is promised to be guarded from all war and all these things, and I've seen nothing but war, you know.
Right.
Anyways, I don't want to get too far down that road, but I think everybody's picking up what we're putting down.
Yeah, especially with current times.
Yeah. The idea here is like the New Jerusalem, it's a hill graven without hands. And we're going to hit a couple scriptures to drive that home. But so the Lamb's bride, New Jerusalem, right, is described like this, having the esteem of Elohim and her light, so this is the light of New Jerusalem, was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and having a great and high wall, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, and names written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the children of Yisrael. That's it. There's 12 gates with the 12 tribes. No Gentile gate. It says,
so let's say, hold on. Yeah. So let's say you and I are out in the nations doing some like disaster relief, and we're a part of different tribes, right?
Yeah.
And like you're on the north side and I'm on the south side, but we end up on the north side. I'll be like, oh crap, dude. I'll see you in a minute. I gotta go around.
I gotta go travel 2,800 miles to go.
I'm or can sure. I go through that same gate?
I don't know. Like for me, if I was in charge, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, like you do have a gate. Just you can use mine. You know, like that's fine.
I'll see you in like 12 days.
Yeah.
let me go around real quick.
Let me load up with provisions. Oh, no. Man. I mean, like but this is something that is like a big descriptor, right? There's no Gentile gate. To say you're a Gentile means you're of the nations and not part of Abraham's seed. The whole thing being, since you are part of Abraham's seed, like you have to do the deeds of Abraham. It's the same thing he rebuked the Pharisees for. Like Abraham, because of his faith, he was provoked to the good works of the Father, you know, and he kept the instructions. Yeah. Like, anyways. It's an identity crisis. If you identify who you are, then you can do what applies to you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Yahusha did that perfectly.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What we're all supposed to be striving to do.
He's so wonderful. Real quick. So in verse 11, it gives a description of the kingdom, right? Like it says, the kingdom's light. It's like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So something clear as crystal is translucent, I guess could be the right word. Jasper stones come in all these variety of colors. And if you look at the northern lights, quote unquote, northern lights, right? They're spreading across this, you know, flat plane of the earth. I do think the kingdom's in approach. I don't know how long it's going to take, right? But this is the light of the kingdom. This isn't a magnetic field in whatever science wants to explain away. Like, this is the kingdom's light. It perfectly matches the description. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
The center lights? Is that what you mean? The center lights?
The center lights, yeah. It took me a second to pick up on that. I was like, well, center lights? What is that? Yeah. Go. All right. So 13 goes on to say, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 emissaries of the Lamb, the 12 apostles. And he who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city lies four squared, and its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a rod, 12,000 stadia. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So just under 1,400 miles. I guess that's, if this is correct math, I don't know. I didn't math this out, but yeah, it's pretty big.
Big.
And he measured its wall.
Is the point.
144 super forearms, big. According to the measure of a man, that is of a messenger. Okay. So 216 feet. That's pretty cool. And the structure of its wall was jasper, and the city was clean gold. Like clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, agate, the fourth, emerald, The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, ruby. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysopras. Oh, that's a tough one. Chrysopras? Sure.
Sounds like sounds like a prescription drug.
Yeah. Try chrysopras for those migraines you just can't get to go away. You know? Side effects include not being able to drive, losing your sight.
Death. Suicidal thoughts. All that. No more headaches, though.
Yeah. Don't worry. We took care of that hangnail. You're good to go. Let's not forget. Okay. Oops. What we covered earlier. The drug sorcerers can't come in. Yep. In verse 8. So just hammering that home again. All right. The 11th was jacinth and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was clean gold like transparent glass. Real quick, all of these stones mentioned for the foundations, they are, I believe the word is isotropic. Does that sound right?
Let me double check. I'll search that real quick.
Thank you. But basically what that means is like when pure light is shined into them, they give a wide array of different colors and beautiful designs. Like they are just gorgeous. They come to life. Whereas when you shine pure light through like a diamond, it's just like gray and black, like the, you know, they should put that on one of the like,
diamonds. Anisotropic, I think, is the ones.
Shine some pure light through that. Your diamond sucks. Yeah.
Sorry, I think mine's trying to reconnect right now. I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh, it totally cut out on me. What'd you say? Oh, well, until he gets that definition up, because it cut out on my end, everybody. I'm going to keep reading. It says, and I saw no dwelling place in it, for Yahweh El Shaddai is its dwelling place and the Lamb. And everybody says that this is like, there's no temple in New Jerusalem, but that's not the case. I'll show you right now. So where they put temple, this is a poor translation. The Greek word here is naos. So naos is like the shrine room of the temple, which we know would be the Holy of Holies. There's no Holy of Holies because the Father and the Son are present there. Pretty cool. There totally is a temple. Otherwise, all the stuff in Revelation where they talk about the altar and the altar of incense and all that, none of that would be there if there was not a temple.
Right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. A little choppy, but I can hear you.
Cool. Yeah, we had some technical difficulties, but the listeners won't even know. Now, I mean, other than the fact that I just mentioned it, but...
They're going to know, because I was like, no, where did he go? Oh my gosh, it's the end of the episode. Yeah, I was freaking out. Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that works. that works. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It just, like, randomly kicked me off. I have, like, full Wi-Fi service, all that stuff, so... Yeah, I don't know. But it was the antistropic, the light, isotropic, that's the one that explains the diamond. The anisotropic, or whatever, is the other one, is the good one.
Okay. All right. Well, my bad, everybody. So these are the ones that, like, pure light just makes them pop, you know, these beautiful colors and designs. It's amazing.
Yeah.
There's a ton of Google images and videos on this. I highly encourage everybody to look up these stones mentioned in Revelation 21. Cause it's just beautiful. You don't need to put any posters up in your habitations that the Messiah is preparing for you. It's already going to be beautiful.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's gonna be hard to sleep.
Yeah. Like, it's so bright in here. It's like, oh yeah, I just remembered I don't have to sleep anymore. This is great.
Just doing this out of habit.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, yeah. So anyways, on 22, yeah, no dwelling place or no temple is how it's mentioned. Incorrect translation. Greek word naos means shrine room. That would be interpreted as the Holy of Holies. Because the presence of the Father and the Lamb is within the temple, they themselves. All right, it says, and the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the esteem of Elohim lightened it, and the Lamb is its lamp.
That's wild.
There's still a sun and the moon, everybody. But in the kingdom, they don't need it for light because it's so beautifully bright in there from the glory of Yah.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah 31 tells us that those ordinances of the sun and the moon and stars, they'll never go away. Otherwise, Yasharel will cease from existing. So, all right, it says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their esteem into it. And its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for night shall not be there. And they shall bring the esteem and the appreciation of the nations into it. And there shall by no means enter into it whatever is unclean, neither anyone doing abomination and falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Also, you got to be circumcised of heart and flesh to enter into the kingdom. Yeah. It's a thing, everybody.
Dude,
a sign of the covenant.
Not one of these things has been talked about in any mainstream church I've been to. This whole chapter, Revelation 21, not one of them has been mentioned. Not one of these aspects has been mentioned.
Well, that's the thing. It's so weird. It, like, you know, when everybody talks about the gospel and they're like, yeah, Christ came, he died, he resurrected and ascended, and he did that for you, and you'd be saved if you believe in him, which is partially true, right? It's a huge part still, but it's not the full gospel. The gospel is what the Messiah came preaching to everybody, and that was the kingdom. You know, basically, the kingdom of heaven is coming. This is what you got to do to get into it. And then he gave us an example by his walk. And we are to disciple after him and imitate the one we disciple after. So it just all makes so much more sense when you allow scripture to interpret scripture instead of these different denominations. And, you know, these denominations, let's be honest, they harp on one thing or another, and none of them agree on anything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Man, like... It makes you sad.
Yeah.
Like, this many people are just this far off. It's wild.
It is really sad because the kingdom is coming and it has a tangibility to it. Like, there's, like, the Garden of Eden is inside of the kingdom. You know, it was removed from the earth and it's just chilling in there now. It's coming back down. Like, there's plants, there's animals. Like, if you look at all the descriptions, like, there'll be vineyards, there will be flocks, there, you know, we'll have purpose, we'll have duties or jobs, but we'll fully love them. Like, there won't be any turmoil or strife. Like, it's just going to be literally wonderful times. And we're not going to be just floating like, oh boy, we got an eternity to just be in this cloud. No, like, we get to interact with the Father and the Son and each other and worship and fellowship and share and help the nations outside.
Yeah, they're probably going to need quite a bit of help.
Yeah.
Dude. Disaster relief.
Disaster relief. Yeah.
I wonder how quickly we could build a house in glorified bodies.
Bro, that is a good question. Or like, and we're like enlisting the help of these awesome animals from the kingdom. Like we're like, yeah. We're like roofing. You're like, I'm out of nails. And this giraffe is just like, just brings this bucket of nails up. I'm like, yeah, giraffe, you know,
this elephant lifts this truss for us.
Yeah. Oh man. So cool.
Yeah. That would be wild.
I mean, it's all speculation on animals being involved in construction, but I like to think that they're able to, you know.
It's possible. It's possible.
I think the animals are going to talk in the kingdom, personally.
Man, all I know is that if my dog makes it to the kingdom, she ain't going to shut up, dude. She's always like, yeah, she's the type of dog that would just constantly be talking. Constantly. Yeah. Which, if I was a dog and nobody understood me the majority of my life or my whole life, then I'd be talking too.
Dude, I can't wait. Like, my dog, I think he's got some stuff to get off his chest, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. Like, yeah, your dog especially has some stuff to get off his chest. He's like, remember all those times you left me?
I know, like, oh, you left for like a week here and a week there, and I didn't know what was going on. He's being cared for by family, everybody. He's not like alone, but he's so sensitive. Yeah. He's such a good boy, but he's just so sensitive.
Yeah, he is a sensitive dog. It cracks me up. He's awesome. He is an awesome dog, but yeah, he is sensitive.
It's man. Pretty
What
funny.
Do you want to get into next?
Well, here's a little fun thingy that I'm going to read. I'm not going to pull this up because it's going to be hard to pull this up on the screen. But where did it go? Give me one second.
No, you're good.
One second.
You're good. Man, I'm just thinking about like having elephants help us construct things.
Oh, it'd be so much fun.
It'd be so cool. It'd be so cool. I don't know if you've ever ridden an elephant, but it's like doing the splits whenever you're up on its back. Those things are really? So doggone wide. Oh yeah, especially the African elephants. Man, they're so wide. It's wild.
That's so cool. I never have, and that would be fun. I might side saddle that bad boy, but, you know, instead of doing the splits, but
what with your dress, is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, man. I don't know what these robes look like, man. Modesty, everybody. Modesty. Okay. So I'll be honest.
What's going on?
This has changed. In this app I'm using.
Oh, damn. I hate those freaking updates, dude. Every time they update my phone or an app or like the computer, it's always worse. It's like not one improvement in quotes they make on these things or updates is like actually any better as far as like the ergonomics or the user friendliness and stuff like that. Like my phone did an update on the freaking photo app. Why can I not navigate my photos normally anymore? It's so annoying.
Yeah, I did find it though. It finally.
Oh, okay. But, cool.
But I agree with you. Yeah. And sometimes, like, you know how, like, the phones, real quick on the photos, like, they'll do the random montage, like, this, like, last year in review.
Yeah.
It shows me, like, all the saddest pictures. And I'm like, oh no, like I'm like, oh, it's such a weepy day. My phone's a jerk, but all right, so Jubilees chapter 3 verse 28 says, and on that day on which Adam went forth from the garden, he offered as a sweet savor an offer of frankincense, galbanum, stacte, and spices in the morning with the rising of the sun from the day when he covered his shame. So first of all, he's doing some priesthood stuff. Pretty cool. And it goes on to say, on that day was closed the mouth of all beasts and of cattle and of birds and of whatsoever walks and whatsoever moves, so that they could no longer speak, for they had all spoken one with another with one lip and with one tongue. So if we're returning to the garden, right, and, you know, as a matter of speech, because the garden's going to be in New Jerusalem, personally, I'm of the belief that the animals are going to be able to talk again. Like, this tongue will be restored to everything living in there. That'll be super awesome. Might be a little weird when you're like processing, going to kill an animal to eat it, but
I imagine. Ooh, man, at least in this state right now, that would be a little bit more difficult, especially when it comes to like lambs. Yeah. It's like, hey, buddy, I know you've been alive for 8 months, but we're hungry.
Yeah, but in the kingdom, they'd be like, it's okay. This is why I was made, you know?
You know what? If that's what voice they have, it's going to be a little bit easier.
it's okay.
You sound like a cartoon character. It's going to be a little bit easier. Oh, man.
Don't worry, I'm delicious.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, so that was a little fun tangent, but let's take a look at this. Like,
yeah,
this kingdom, right, is not one made with human hands. Everybody who's looking at the third temple or whatever, for whatever regard, like, stop. Just who cares? Whether it gets built or not, it doesn't matter. It's not what we're looking for. And everybody right. who says like, oh, the Antichrist is going to go in and be like, hey, everybody, I'm God. No, he's not. Like, there's no deception in that. That's what everybody's looking for. Yeah. We're told that we are the dwelling place of Elohim. That means that he's going to enter the hearts of men. So who cares what happens in a building that someone builds? Anyways, all right, so 2 Baruch chapter 4, this is a description of the city. It says, and Yahuwah said unto me, this city shall be delivered up for a time, and the people shall be chastened during a time, and the world will not be given over to oblivion. Do you think that this is the city which I said, on the palms of my hands have I graven you? This building now built in your midst is not that which is revealed with me, that which was prepared beforehand here from the time when I took counsel to make paradise, and I showed it to Adam before he sinned. But when he transgressed the commandment, it was removed from him, as also paradise. After these things, I showed it to my servant Abraham by night among the portions of the victims. That's Genesis 15? I think. And it says, and again, also I showed it to Moshe on Mount Sinai when I showed to him the likeness of the tabernacle and all its vessels. And now behold, it is preserved with me as also paradise. So it says, go therefore and do as I command you, which is what we should all be doing. Just do what he commands us so we can, you know, be reunited with him, like physically. Yeah. But anyways, the point being, even when Jerusalem was being ransacked at the time of Baruch, Baruch was what, the scribe for the prophet Jeremiah, and I believe he was also a priest himself and prophet. But Yah is telling them like, yo, this city, this isn't what's revealed with me. This is for you guys now, but what's coming down with me is wonderful. Like, I made this. You know, not human hands.
Man.
Another thing. So when Abraham was showed it among the portions of the victims, if you look at the Apocalypse of Abraham, it gives a good description of what he saw. Super cool. Little fun side trail for people out there.
What does that mean, though, among the portions of the victims?
So he was told to like get these different animals and he divided them. He literally divided them. And then he had this, he fell into like a trance and was shown a vision during this time. Let me find it real quick. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Genesis 15.
Like, he was literally among the portions of the victims, like as he was dividing the animals. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. I didn't know if it was like some term or something like that, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he divided them all. He gets like caught in a trance. It says a trance or a deep sleep. The Masoretic says great darkness fell upon him, right?
Okay.
yeah. The Septuagint says, and about sunset, a trance fell upon Abram, and lo, a great gloomy terror falls upon him. He's shown a lot of intense stuff, you know, but
yeah,
but nevertheless, you know, he was showed also the kingdom, and it is described in Apocalypse of Abraham. I recommend it. Read it, test it. Deuteronomy 13, 18 test. Congruency of scripture and what it teaches, I think it passes, but there's still some hard things in there to reckon with. But anyways.
Oh, man, maybe that should be a standalone episode, going over the Apocalypse of Abraham.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. We could pick some pretty cool chapters out of it and kind of display it. And
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
All right, so in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And I'm not trying to cherry pick. It's just that we get like descriptions in these verses in the context of what we're searching for. Yeah. So 44, it says, and in those days, kings of Elohim of heaven shall set up a kingdom. Why does it say it like that?
I see that too. Ella?
Yeah. Anyways.
It's only in the Septuagint that is showing that.
Yeah. Shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and his kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall beat to pieces and grind to powder all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Whereas you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it is beat to and it beat to pieces the earthenware, the iron, the brass, the silver, the gold. The great Elohim has made known to the king what must happen hereafter, and the dream is true, and the interpretation thereof is true. Really, what I wanted to get to is right here. Whereas you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. This is another thing, like this stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Talking about New Jerusalem, hill graven without hands. It's mentioned in a few different places, but yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And if you're curious about whether or not that is a true description, at the end of 45, it says, and the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy.
Yeah. It's like, don't doubt. Just in case you were wondering. For sure. Going to happen. Yeah,
man, where do you want to go next?
Kind of feeling a little for Ezra. So it's also known as Second Esdras. Yeah, I believe it's in the 1611 King KJV, 1599 Geneva. I believe it's in the Septuagint. Maybe not published in all of the translations of it, but our master, Yahusha, the Messiah, quoted directly out of this book. And nowhere else do you get certain quotations of this. It's amazing. Love this book. It's one of my favorites. This will be another one that I'm not going to pop up on screen, but this is
I just noticed something on eSword. So it has the option. So if you're in the Septuagint book, it has the option for Second Esdras, but when you click on it, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
That is odd.
Yeah, that one's
going
kind of
on with that.
I don't know. Oh, it's the Brinton. It's not published in the hard copy of the Brinton that I have either. So, yeah, but look, this book, test it if you haven't read it already, but I highly recommend it. It's literally proven true, even for prophecies about our time now and the signs that we're seeing. It's amazing. All right. So, for Ezra chapter 13 says, and it came to pass after 7 days that I dreamed a dream by night. And lo, there arose a wind from the sea, that it moved all the waves thereof. And I beheld, and lo, that a man waxed strong with the thousands of heaven. And he turned his countenance to look, and all things trembled that were seen under him. And whensoever the voice went out of his mouth, all they burned that heard his voice, like as the earth fails when it feels the fire. And after this I beheld, and lo, there was gathered together a multitude of men out of number from the four winds of the heaven to subdue the man that came out of the sea. But I beheld, and lo, he had graved himself a great mountain and flew up upon it. But I would have seen the region or place whereout the hill was graved, but I could not. And after this I beheld, and lo, all they which were gathered together to subdue him were sore afraid, and yet dared to fight. And lo, as he saw the violence of the multitude that came, he neither lifted up his hand, nor held sword, nor any instrument of war. But only I saw that he sent out of his mouth as it had been a blast of fire, and out of his lips a flaming breath, and out of his tongue he cast out sparks and tempests. And they were all mixed together, the blast of fire and flaming breath and the great tempest, and fell with violence upon the multitude which was prepared to fight, and burned them up every one, so that upon a sudden of an innumerable multitude nothing was to be perceived, but only dust and the smell of smoke. When I saw this, I was afraid. And afterwards saw I that man come down from the mountain and call unto him another peaceable multitude. And there came many people unto him, whereof some were glad, some were sorry, some of them were bound, and some brought of them that were offered. Then was I sick through great fear, and I awakened and said, You have shown your servant these wonders from the beginning, and have counted me worthy that you should receive my prayer. Show me now yet the interpretation of this dream. So I'm going to skip ahead a few verses, okay, when we get this interpretation. Verse 25, it says, This is the meaning of the vision, whereas you saw a man coming up from the midst of the sea. This is the same as he whom El Elyon has kept a great season, which by his own self shall deliver his creature. And he shall order them that are left behind. And whereas you saw that out of his mouth there came as a blast of wind and fire and storm, and that he held neither sword nor instrument of war, but that the rushing in of him destroyed the whole multitude that came to subdue him, this is the interpretation. Behold, the days come that El Elyon will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth. And for anybody who's not sure, El Elyon means the Most High.
I have not heard that name before.
Yeah, there's so many, so many different names, or yeah. Titles, rather. It says, And he shall come to the astonishment of them that dwell on the earth. And one shall undertake to fight against another, one city against another, one place against another, one people against another, and one realm against another. And the time shall be, when these things shall come to pass, and the sign shall happen, which I showed you before, And then shall my son be declared, whom you saw as a man ascending. And when all the people hear his voice, every man shall in their own land leave the battle they have one against another. And an innumerable multitude shall be gathered together, as you saw them, willing to come and to overcome him by fighting. But he shall stand upon the top of Mount Zion. And Zion shall come and shall be showed to all men, being prepared and built like as you saw the hill graven without hands. And this my son shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations which for their wicked life are fallen into the tempest, and shall lay before them their evil thoughts and the torments wherewith they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto the flame. And he shall destroy them without labor by the Torah, which is like unto me. All right, I'll leave it there. It's just, when he comes, it's depicting that he comes and this kingdom is with him, right? All the nations are at each other's throats, even the realms, right? So if you want to get into potentially,
dimensions?
Yeah, spiritual warfare type stuff. Yeah. But we see that all around us, right? And I think it'll get worse, but here's the point is they all left the warfare. They had one against another. They joined together in unison to go fight against the kingdom.
Yeah.
So this leads us back to what we spoke about, like that fake alien invasion that they're setting up for.
Mm-hmm.
And this clearly says that when Yahushua comes back, Zion or New Jerusalem comes with him. Like it is shown to all men.
That's
so
wild. This
pretty
is
exciting stuff. You know, I mean, this is like, I don't even know how I ever pictured it before. I was always taught about the rapture growing up, and it's like, yeah, you're just going to get zipped into the clouds. You're not going to see any of this bad stuff, so don't worry about it. And you're good to go.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, now that I actually read scripture for myself and, you know, man is no longer my teacher, right? But the Ruach instructs me when I'm reading. And any fault I have is my fault. It's obviously not the Ruach's, you know, I'm still right. A dude, but nevertheless, like it's so clear. What?
No transition. You ain't transitioning into nothing. You know, you can identify as a trans-testicle polar bear, right?
No, I do not. I identify as dude, man, bro. or you can just call, you can say howdy mister, you know, like whatever you want.
that's a wild book though. That's definitely one I'm gonna have to read,
bro. I kid you not, for like a whole year I listened to it on audio every day at work over and over. I don't know what it was. I couldn't get enough of it. It's beautiful.
I'm picturing that whole battle scene right in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
It's going to be wild. Like, think about it too. Everybody's like, yeah, it's going to be so crazy. Like the wars and there are going to be a lot of people that die in the wars and all that.
Right.
But there's still going to be enough left for an innumerable multitude to come together to fight them. Like,
yeah,
you know, so how far do we get down that road before he returns? I'm not sure. I do personally believe we're going to see more war and it's going to affect likely all of us to some degree, but
yeah, either directly or indirectly via like, transportation routes and stuff like that, or,
yeah,
just like goods and whatnot. Man.
Yeah. Seriously, like, look at the trade wars going on right now with all the tariffs and everything. Like, everybody better buckle up. That never leads to anything good.
Yeah. Look at the price of eggs, and those are largely sourced from the United States. That doesn't require transportation. Now, their feed sometimes is and sometimes isn't, but, man, and, yeah. Most of our stuff comes from overseas. This is wild.
Yeah.
You might want to get your poop in a group.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it in a group so you can keep it out of your pants, you know?
Like, yeah, you don't poop in your pants. Yeah. Yeah, don't poop into them.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta just get ready. Here we go. Okay, we got to stop now before we get back into it. Yeah. People are not going to take us serious if we keep going down that path.
All I'm thinking is, like, this is a line of merch we could open up. Like, something to do with Bucky's bathrooms.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be such a great sponsor. Mm-hmm. We'll just donate whatever they do. I don't even need anything from them.
No,
like, their bathrooms are already free.
Except maybe build a Bucky's closer to me. So that way...
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Their advertising is wild. It'll say, you can hold it 172 miles till your next Bucky's. Like, what?
Yeah.
If I pass that sign and I have to go then, I ain't holding it. But I'll try, because Bucky's is a shiznit. But yeah, I ain't making it.
There ain't no way I'm making it, but I my heart's desire is to make it.
Yep. Good job, you know. Bucky's.
Good
job.
Good on you.
Man, you want to get into anything else?
Yeah, well, look, there is literally scattered throughout all the prophets, and it's always about the kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
This is the good news of the kingdom, and our Messiah's, like, death, resurrection, and ascension is how he became our high priest, the one that mediates between us and the Father, and grants us entrance. He has the power of the resurrection, right? He's been granted this. So I don't know, anybody who's not currently doing this, start readdressing and rereading the prophets, you know, all of them. Start rereading the prophets with the lens that it's always pointing towards the kingdom. You know, it will talk about their current times, and then it'll jump to like the great hope that is there for everybody in covenant. Yeah.
You want to read Psalm 48 real quick? You cool with that?
48. I'm always cool with that. All right. Oops. There we go. All right. Psalm 48. I'm going to read it out of the Septuagint. It says, cool. A psalm of praise for the sons of Kor on the second day of the week. Great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our Elohim, in his holy mountain. The city of the great king is well planted on the mountains of Zion, and the joy of the whole earth on the sides of the north. Elohim is known in her palaces when he undertakes to help her. For behold, the kings of the earth were assembled. They came together. They saw, and so they wondered, and they were troubled, and they were moved. Trembling took hold on them. There were the pains as of a woman in travail. You will break the ships of Tarshish with a vehement wind. As we have heard, so have we also seen in the city of Yahuwah Sebaot, in the city of our Elohim. Elohim has founded it forever. We have thought of your mercy, O Elohim, in the midst of your people. According to your name, O Elohim, so is also the praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Yehuda exult because of your judgments, O Yahuwah. Go round about Zion and encompass her. Tell you her towers. Mark you well her strength and observe her palaces, that you may tell the next generation. For this is our Elohim forever and ever. He will be our guide forevermore. And praise.
What is up with the pause at the end of verse 8, where it says pause?
They probably got a little.
Are we supposed to contemplate that for a second?
Yeah, it's usually like, because these are all like, you know, sung praises, and they have some like music to them. So they like, you know, pause, and they got a little rhythm section maybe, or, you know. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like, because, well, it didn't give that precursor at the beginning of the text. It's like where it's tuned to the such and such or whatever.
Yeah.
I would love to hear the song versions of these.
Yeah. What's that group's name? You can find them on Spotify. I think it's Left and Right Ministries. They do a lot of the Psalms. They do a really good job. Beautiful voices.
I'm writing that down. I think you played it that one day, didn't you?
Probably. It's just really enjoyable. I think you guys really blessed them.
Building that greenhouse?
Yeah, I did. Oh, and when we were chopping wood all day.
Right, yeah.
Man, that was a great day, just chopping wood.
That was one of the more satisfying days of the disaster relief, that's for sure. I felt more satisfied there on that one day than that almost full week the first time we went out.
Oh my gosh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, it's just good. I think we'll wrap it up there, you know, and I just, again, encourage everybody to put on the lenses of the kingdom. Anytime you read scripture, you know, it may not always directly talk about it, but it will lead to it if it's not directly talking about the kingdom. Isaiah gives such great descriptions of the inner workings in the kingdom and the things that those who are allowed in, who are glorified, will be doing, among many others. But I did want to mention this. So look, on this I guess on YouTube specifically, we don't get many comments, right? Please comment. I want to know what everybody's thinking. And, you know, we got a comment, somebody who was like, definitely disagreed with us. They were nice. They didn't say anything bad, but they're like, we're not under the Torah. We don't follow that. Okay. I hear what you're saying. And I just lovingly encourage you to email us at exiledstrangers@proton.me. And please come on, let's do a show and let's just talk about it. You can be completely anonymous. Nobody needs to know your name. You won't be made fun of. You won't be trash talked. We love you. And we just like a chance to show you what we see.
You don't even have to tell us your name. Like, you don't, like us in the email correspondence and stuff like that. You can keep your identity completely hidden from us as well. It's not like we need to know your background or your name or anything like that. But yeah, we would love to have a discussion with you, and it would be super helpful. So if that is something you believe, then having this discussion, you would view being beneficial to other people, just the same way we do. Like, having this discussion should shed light on what and find the actual truth of the matter. And let's talk about it. And it won't be like some heated debate or anything like that. I mean, unless you bring it to there. But like from us, it won't be pushed that way from us. It'll just be literally a loving discussion in search of the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, it's like every time I see any counter arguments, it's typically one verse from here, one verse from there, completely ignoring the whole of context around that verse, you know?
Right.
And if we can get the chance to talk through it, read a little deeper into those scriptures, I think it'd be really fun.
On that video, based on that video that was commented on, like I even told you at the beginning, like I tried to disprove this at first. I was in your position at first of saying like, oh no, the law doesn't apply to us. Let me try to go ahead and prove that right. And then I couldn't.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And then I kept reading.
I did the same thing. There's no way that I could have seen anything any different. It's like once you see it, you can't go back. You can't unsee it.
No. And like the only, you hear those examples of people that go back to mainstream Christianity or even to being like completely denying everything. Yeah. I don't know that they were necessarily, I wonder if there were people that were pressured into this walk as opposed to like searching it out themselves, or like guilt tripped into this walk as opposed to searching it out themselves. Because honestly, I don't understand how you could be. I don't understand how you could go back after this. Like, everything seems to be pointing to being obedient.
It sure does. I mean, we're judged by every word and deed. Like, you know, there's a lot going on there. You know, the bottom line is like everything the Messiah says. He's like, the kingdom's coming. This is what you got to do to get in, you know? Yeah. He's given us, it's an open book test.
Yeah.
You know?
Which does, also, some of the hardest tests were the open book tests.
Yeah, sometimes. The good thing here is, like, we get it straight up, and our battle is, like, you know, the Ruach of Yah that's within us versus our flesh, you know? The stupid flesh. It's such a pain in the butt sometimes, but
yeah it really is.
Another thing, you know, I seen like the amount of views that are on there. You guys can give us a like, at least give us a like, even if you don't like us, so that we can start doing live streams, please. And then you can get on the live streams and be like, hey, I gave you a like, I don't like you, but let's talk about it. And you know,
you can actually, okay, so a like and a dislike do the same exact thing. So if a video gets a lot of dislikes, it still has the same benefit and pushes the same, because it's attention. YouTube views it as like attention. So no matter your opinion. You can do likes or dislikes, whatever you want to do.
Oh,
just
wait.
Just do one of them.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I'm cool with dislikes too. I mean, I didn't write the book.
Yeah, it gets this, it pushes the same amount of attention to other subscribers. So like if there's a video that is getting a bunch of hate, YouTube is like, oh, people are watching this video. That means there's more ads that we can play for this. People hate it or love it. They don't really care as long as it's getting attention. That's ads they can play. That's money that they make, especially right now before we're monetized, where we don't get any kind of cut from that.
Yeah. And just another heads up, like when we do get monetized, we're recycling this money. We're not going to be profiting off the word.
Right.
Yeah, so
yeah,
no worries there. And I did miss.
Go ahead.
After you, good sir.
Oh, thank you, good sir. we can, I think, set it up so we're like, even once we become like eligible, we can make it so where the live streams don't make money. We can turn the monetization off, but still have the benefits of all the like we can do live streams, we can do stuff like that. Or we could we could set it up for donations, we can do really whatever. There's a bunch of different options at that point. But yeah, we will not be accepting the money off of the word.
Yeah, and typically, like, unless we're trying to actually fund something specific that we will, you know, show proof of that we did. And if anybody would want to tithe, that crazy word, anybody want to tithe or anything, I would say this: you ain't going to do it to us. Go find someone who's hungry and feed them. Go find someone who needs clothes and give them clothes. That's your tithing, because our high priest is in the heavenly tabernacle. And I did misspeak earlier. We need subscriptions to go live, not likes.
Likes lead to subscriptions.
Okay, they just look, everybody get your fingers out and just smash all the buttons possible on these videos with us and just try to help us out. I want to get on live and combat some of these dang witches and these people that are on these lives. I go through YouTube live and there's people reading tarot cards and all this, and I'm like, I want to be on live so I can be like, hey, you go next door to this bozo and give him, you know, this scripture, you know, I don't know, dude.
Smash every button except for the report button. That won't help. That won't help us. So don't hit the report button, but you can hit thumbs up, thumbs down, subscribe, notify, all that stuff if you want to. Whatever you want to. Just help us out. But
yeah, well, man, unless they're like, I would like to report these guys for being awesome.
I don't even think that's an option. They should, though. YouTube should make that an option. Yeah. Like, they should get notified, like, hey, man, I really like what these people are doing. I'm going to report them for being awesome. And then YouTube should just, because it's half bots anyways, they should just instantly give you like 4,000 subscribers.
Yeah, like done day. They're just all bots.
Yep. And then we can go live. Yeah, all that. But man, you got anything else, nobody?
Nah, I was just thinking about the animals talking in the kingdom. Still on my mind. The
elephants lifting trusses.
I'd be like, come eat me. I'm delicious.
I'm going to try to saddle up a cheetah.
I was going made fast. For food. Yeah, that's cool. I might cruise it, you know? I might just cruise. Let me see. What animal would that be?
Okay, yeah, no, this is good. If you could ride any animal, what would it be? And it's like, not going to eat you.
Yeah, I've always said like a lion, but realistically, like, I don't know. Like, maybe if animals do talk, maybe a zebra would be like a silly zebra, like from the cartoons, like a super fun ride because he's just cracking great jokes, you know. I don't know, man.
I'm riding a moose.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
dang, that is pretty cool. That's unheard of.
stomp you out right now.
That is completely unheard of. Maybe what's a big enough bird that can pick me up? Just pick me up by the shoulders.
A pterodactyl.
Okay, I don't think there's gonna be pterodactyls, but dang it,
what's that one, golden eagle? It's like the one that pulls the goats off the cliffs and then like eats it when it hits the bottom.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna hit one of them up.
Okay. I'm sure you could, you know, have a discussion with them and try to figure that out. I feel like their voices are gonna be super high pitched.
Oh, this is like crazy cool eagle, but it's
Or okay, moose or a Kodiak bear.
Ooh,
depends on what we're doing.
Like if I really just wanted to cruise it, I wish sloths were big enough to ride on.
Those giant sloths were. Weren't there giant sloths? Didn't they go extinct?
I don't know. Maybe, but see, I don't know if I really buy
them. I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. Oh, a mammoth. That's what I'm riding.
Just a big old hairy elephant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if it's cold outside. Feels like it's going to be cozy.
You got leg warmers, you know, spurs just around your legs. It'd be easier to side saddle that thing and not do the splits. You just hold on to the hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to sign up to give your testimony or have a discussion on the podcast, email us at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me.
Proton. M-E.
Man, we got two sponsors, Proton and Bucky's Bathrooms. All right. Until next time, we'll see you guys.